weekend.
All right, 7 after the hour now. Good Day Weekend program continues with Phil Leppard, who's the super... Oh, there you are. Hello. It's a very... I like the hearing you clear your... I mean, let's see if I can do better than
well,
you.
Well, I was coughing.
I know, but I want to see if I can do it better than you.
Well, good morning, then.
Hey, it's been same to you, sir. And how are you? It's a wonderful day in the neighborhood.
I'm good.
Yeah, it's good. Phil Leppard, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. A big round of applause for Phil Leppard.
Coughing. Woo!
Yeah, that's very good. See, we have an audience, sorry, a studio audience, and everything's perfect. All right, so the news...
Oh, you know why I'm coughing?
No, I don't. Why are you coughing?
Well, because this week has been a big week for two reasons. Pink slime continues to grow and grow and grow.
Yes.
And Ralph's, first supermarket chain in Southern California to add double coupons 20 years ago, is the first one to eliminate double coupons.
Really?
Yeah.
Right, so let's talk about couponing. Phil Leppard, who is the supermarket guru, is the national expert when it comes to food and shopping, where to procure the best food, how to be thinking about what to serve your family. All kinds of things come into his perusal. And if you check out thesupermarketguru.com, you can find his picks every week. He has daily influence and weekly influence and monthly influence, national influence. He's always called upon whenever there is something important happening in the world of food news to inveigle his expertise and his opinion. And so that's why he's very handy to have here on the Good Day Weekend program, because we can give you all sorts of advice on things that are practical. If you're going shopping over the weekend for food, you listen up to some of these things. We try to steer you in the right direction. Ralph's one of the I think Johnny Carson first really got the rest of the world to know about Ralph's, because he was always talking about Ralph's supermarkets.
Yep.
And it's probably the largest of all the California. I don't know. Are they outside of California or just in California?
Well, they're owned by Kroger.
They're based
in California. But,
Kroger.
You know, what's interesting about this move away from double coupons is that it's probably more of a test for Kroger than anything else. Now, about a year and a half ago, they limited the value of double coupons to a total of a dollar. So if you had a 75-cent coupon, you wouldn't get $1.50. You'd get up to a dollar if you had 50 cents. Again, you know, up to a dollar.
Right.
So, you know, it's a real interesting ploy that they're taking. Now, where they were really stupid is they announced they're eliminating double coupons. And what they've said, and Doug, this is, you know, maybe it's high drama for movies or something, but what they said is come April 1st, they're going to have a better program so that people are going to be able to save even more. But you've got that, you know, week, 10 days to a week, of people who are getting really angry about taking double coupons away. Even people that don't use coupons, mm-hmm. they're upset. So it's just like been a PR nightmare.
Sounds like somebody maybe from American Airlines went to work at Ralph's. Because American is so great at PR. It's the same kind of thing. Yeah, they make bad things worse by the way they handle the inevitable world that we live in. It's the information world, a superhighway it's called. We have smartphones. We have all kinds of ways of using Facebook and Twitter.
We need smart people.
Right.
Let's get some smart
and the big corporate interest. Now, I did not know Kroger owned Ralph's. Kroger then would be the largest of all of the national supermarket chains. Is Kroger the biggest? Does it own entities like
Walmart,
Ralph's?
Walmart is bigger, but Kroger would be number two.
Yeah. All right. So what are we talking about in terms of dollars? And let's take it going back referentially to the coupon things. How much are these coupons worth to the individual who across the country is using them? They check the weekend coupons in the paper or wherever they are, and they get mailers. How much business, I guess it's probably studied from both sides. It's studied from how much business it brings through the door, how much does it save the average American who's using coupons. Do you have some statistical inferences here that would be interesting for people to digest in terms, especially the people that use couponing? I was in a grocery store, I think, Monday, and a woman was standing at the end of a row, and she was kind of holding everybody up because she was going through the newspaper coupons and clipping them out and looking for things, and she had look like hundreds of coupons.
Sure.
You know, I'd got to slow down the process of getting people in and out of the store. I would think the store management would be thinking about that as well. Or does it keep people there and get them to buy more stuff?
Well, not really. If you take a look at coupons, the average coupon for food, and when you look, go through that Sunday circular, you're still going to see Princess Diana plates and things like that that are there. But for food, it's probably only about 3% of all the coupons that are out there are actually redeemed. Now,
how
the
much?
Value,
say that,
base value,
give us that number again.
Under 3%.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, if you look at the coupons that, you get at the checkout, you know, those are called checkout coupons.
Yeah.
Those are up around 18% because, again, they're much more targeted. They know that if you bought Coca-Cola, you know, you're going to get a coupon for Pepsi kind of thing. There's a lot more intuitiveness
so
there.
So then people, when they get those coupons, at the register when you're checking out and they give you a receipt and then they get the printing thing spits out all of these coupons and they give them to you. I never look at them, but what you're saying is most people do look at them. Well, are they for conventional goods like soft drinks and that sort of thing? Are there any really valuable and healthy things that you get coupons for?
It depends on what you purchase. Those coupons are manifested based on what you purchase. So,
really?
Again, let's say you
it's
buy
kind of like
a healthy
Google,
choice.
Google trying to sell you things, right? Google knows what you're doing online, so they're trying to sell you stuff based on what you're doing online.
Yeah, well, Catalina has been doing this for a long time. I mean,
really?
They've been doing it for 20, 25 years before Google and so on. And it's just based on a very simple formula that says that if you buy, you know, cat food, for example, because you've got a cat, you know, they're going to give you a coupon for either another brand of cat food or a cat toy. So you as a company can buy, you know, the coupon to reward your customers. Again, let's go back to Coca-Cola. So your Coca-Cola, you give a coupon to those people who buy Coke or your Pepsi, because you want to steal the Coke customers, so you get a high value, you know, much higher value coupon.
You miserable cur, you.
or you get, you know, chips, for example, because, you know, the database has shown that you buy chips when you buy soda.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Isn't that interesting? That's
you know, very sophisticated.
Very sophisticated. I don't think the average person realizes how sophisticated this all is and why there's so much money in this cash business. That's one of the things.
Absolutely.
That this is a cash business. They don't have to hold a note from you. They don't have to worry if you're going to pay. You're in. You buy what you want. They get you to buy as much as you can, and then you pay, and you're out the door, and they are not worry about you anymore. You've paid at the source. Think about other businesses. The furniture guy, you got to lay it away and pay over a year. The car guy, you got to lay it away, pay for it over 3 years. I mean, think of other retail. And
well,
this
but
is
most
the only
people
real
are now buying their groceries on credit cards.
Yeah, but the supermarket chain doesn't have to worry. They're going to get paid. People will pay.
Correct.
You know, the guy who owns the car store, and he says, we'll finance you no matter what your credit. He's worried every month whether you're going to pay him or not.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that, right? I mean, over the course of the time, it's going to be something that you're exposed if you're in that business. And in the supermarket business, you're never exposed, right?
That's correct. But, you know, when you look at the swipe fees, and there's been big lawsuit going on for a while, you know, the amount that Visa and MasterCard are charging supermarkets, so they're losing money on that transaction. And frankly, I think consumers who use credit cards to buy food who do not pay off their credit card bill every month, you know, they're losing big time. You're getting coupons, you're looking for what's on sale, and then you're paying, you know, 10%,
18%,
30% every month on your groceries.
Right, yeah. All right, so that's a very practical bit of advice, in fact, very practical bit of information for those of you who are listening. Think about it. If you're paying with a debit card, it's different because you're taking the money right out of your checking account, so
sure,
you're not paying interest. But if you're paying for food and you're in the hole, and you're paying 18, 20, who knows what you're paying for interest, the coupons are kind of a secondary consideration.
Yeah, they're kind of meaningless.
Yeah, right, exactly. All right, so speaking of meaning, we're having a conversation with Daniel Imhoff in a few minutes. What's the scoop?
Well, he's written a book called Food Fight, and it's basically a guide to the Farm Bill. And, you know, you are very familiar with the Farm Bill, but most consumers are not. And really understanding where all this money goes, $25 billion a year is what the Farm Bill is all about. We've got these check-off programs like beef and other commodities where basically every time that we buy, you know, some kind of meat, there's money that gets put into a fund that then that money is used to advertise to us to get us to buy more beef. And a lot of people are suggesting that, number one, those commodities that have these checkoff programs are the foods that we shouldn't be eating. You know, all the reports that come out that say eat less beef and so on. The question is whether or not this time around with the Farm Bill we're going to see major changes. So Daniel can help us figure that out.
Am I going to have a fight with him? Are we gonna, he and I
oh,
argue
I think you're on the same side.
Yeah, okay. I think I am from what I'm looking at
here.
By the way, the amount of money represented by the Farm Bill is 0.6% of the federal budget. When you get right down to brass tacks, look at the money we spend. What is it? 30% of the budget is for defense.
Yep.
Look at the way the interesting discussion here, and maybe it's not necessarily appropriate for our food discussion, but for people to think about how the budget is broken down, where we spend our money. It's pretty obscene, actually, when you get right down to it. The Farm Bill, by the way, has been a problem for years because, as usual, the big corporate farm organizations are the ones that get all the money, and they're the ones that don't need it. It's a small family farmer who's gotten screwed around, not just necessarily by the kinds of government programs that have been around, but the farmers don't want, really, the government involved. The government gets in the way, especially in dairy, of farmers making a profit and being able to sell their milk for what it's actually worth, because the big growers, the big producers like Suiza, Dean Foods, they get their lobbyists to go to the people who are on the committees and they say, oh, we got to have this and we got to have that. And so they artificially cut the value of the milk, and the subsidies that are therefore around aren't enough to keep the farmers in business. That's why the small family farmer who had maybe 100, 200 cows is long gone. And you see these disgusting, as I was driving across the country this week, reminded again about how disgusting the conditions are that most dairy animals live in. These 5,000 cow facilities right next to the interstate, you can smell them for 10 miles before you get there and smell them for 10 miles after you leave. They are filthy, atrocious, horrible remnants of an industry that was so well run, and now it's been destroyed, and they're the ones that get the subsidies, and Cargill and ADM and these other people that own these big grain concerns and are buying the grains from farmers, they get all of the subsidies, and that's what the fight is about. I think if I'm understanding,
we need to get you a lobbyist. That's all.
I lobby. But, you know, interesting, I belong to the National Farmers Union, and I went to Washington as a lobbyist last September and met 8 congressmen, and it was one of the most interesting experiences of my life, understanding how the lobbying works. We went to chiefs of staff, we actually met with congressmen, we told them our story, some of them were interested, tuned in, others were completely tuned out and uninterested, and you could see it depended on who it was. It wasn't that they weren't engaged or needed sort of to know. These were all people who were on the Agriculture Committee, and you could tell by talking to them whether or not they were in the pocket of the big farm concern. So, Phil Lempert, pretty interesting stuff. Phil Lempert at supermarketguru.com. You can get to him that way. It's 21 after on the Good Day Weekend program.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed, without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet debt when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at zero debt in 90 days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
What is the most abundant resource on Earth? Water. It's essential for sustaining life, but it's not always the most available. When disaster strikes, water quickly vanishes from store shelves, like it did during 9/11, Katrina, Japan, and in Joplin. 3 days without water and your body begins to shut down. Don't risk being without an abundant supply of water when the next disaster hits. Get a FloJack hand well pump. The affordable FloJack drops right into almost any well and is easy to install without having to remove the existing pump, giving you immediate access to plenty of cool, clean water. You could risk your family's health on a limited supply of stored water, or you could be prepared with the reliable, affordable FloJack backup hand pump kit for only $3.99 complete. See how it works at FloJack.com, spelled FloJack.com. Be sure to spell FloJack.com or call 855-4-FLOJACK, 855-4-FLOJACK. That's 855-435-6525. Proudly made in America, FloJack hand well pumps, peace of mind in a box.
It's 23 past the hour. It's Phil Leppert, the supermarket guru. In a few minutes, we'll meet Mr. Imhoff. In the meantime, I noticed something that I thought you would be interested in. The Time magazine cover this week.
Yep.
They often feature food-related topics. Fairly safe assumption that when a chef graces the cover, it's a big deal. Is it Rezepi? I don't know this guy, but apparently he's a big deal around the world.
But, you know, the controversy about this is that Time magazine used him on the cover for, I don't know how many editions worldwide, but not here in the U.S.
Right. That was my point. I wondered why that
about
was.
Money. Yeah, I think it's called, like, the sexy new money or the money sex or something like that. So it just talks about how the rest of the world cares about substance, and we just care about money and sex.
Really? Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. It,
now, you said that this guy was a locavore. He's considered a locavore hero, apparently. I just Googled him. He was on the cover, by the way, of this week's issue of Time in Europe, Asia, the Middle East, and the South Pacific. The only place he wasn't is here in the U.S. But the story, there is a story inside Time magazine that follows, you know, basically it's the same story. But he didn't get the same attention. So you think that Time magazine's editors think American readers are more interested in women overtaking men as America's breadwinners.
Sure. And you take a look at the food stories that we continue to discuss. You know, Mario Battaglia suing somebody, you know, for using his name.
Yeah.
There was another, Tom Colicchio. Had a lawsuit this week because, again, somebody, some little entrepreneur has a bar called Colicchio's, which happens to be his last name also.
Yeah.
You know, so he's suing him. I mean, that's the kind of stories that we want to hear, or Pink Slime, or, you know, those sensational. We don't care about a guy who's just doing good to, you know, to feed America in a healthy way.
Right.
Why
and that's, by the way, part that? Of the... The problem, what people know, the politicians and others who study us, the reason that the health care bill is as bad as it is, it doesn't focus on prevention or education or yearly health checkups or any of that stuff. It focuses on the insurance companies and the big medicine outfits and big pharma. And, you know, to a point, it does help those who don't have any coverage. And that's an important, I think that's the only saving grace of it, frankly. There's no word on prevention because people in this country are addicted to. You look at USA Today, the cover of it yesterday, and all of the things that are in here that are basically lifestyle stories rather than Yeah. Rather than things that are aimed at helping make your life better and more intelligently handling some of the problems that you're into every day.
But, Doug, is it the media or is it us?
And, well,
you could say that the media influences us and so on. But the average person doesn't read, whether it be a newspaper or a book or anything else. They get everything that they need to from television, and it's, you know, it's the Kardashians. It's whatever, you know, but not a lot of substance going around there. Look at Hunger
Games. Okay, yeah. So which came first, the chicken or the egg is the question that you're asking.
I know the
what is
to
it
that.
Is it? The people, really? I don't know the answer to that. What's the answer to that?
It's the chicken
or the egg?
Of course it's the chicken.
Really? Where did the chicken come from?
Well, the chicken came from, and to get very philosophical here.
Monkeys?
No, it didn't come from one day, God snaps his fingers and there's people there and there's chickens there and everything else. I mean, you could say the same thing. Adam and Eve. Where did Adam and Eve come from?
Well, here's my, everybody.
And you could say it's all evolutionary,
Well, I don't think it is. I think we've come here from other planets. I think animals, I think all people, I think there's no explanation as to why white people are white, black people are black, why Eurasians look the way they do, or any of the populations. And I think you can say that for most of the species. I think you can understand a certain amount of evolution when it comes to things that grow, green grasses and trees and that sort of thing. But I don't think there is an intelligent... I mean, people try to pass it off as being intelligent. But the reality is... And I mean, you can follow it. How does cellular life begin? And you go through billions and billions of years. And, does a bird come from an amoeba? Does a chicken come from some other little cellular structure that developed at the bottom of a swamp?
We were bugs. Think of it that way. It started out as bugs. Bugs on the radio.
Yeah. I don't believe that that's the case. I think that the only explanation that makes any sense is the universe is so big, we understand so little about it, and that at some point in time we have been brought here, we've been positioned here, we've been planted here, if you will. And so you can call out the guys on the funny farm if you want to, but I really think that that is... And I don't think you... By the way, there's no argument that disproves it. You can't disprove my theory. Mm-hmm. You might be able to try to prove the theory of evolution, and it might have some merit, because I think some things have evolved. But I just don't think that there is, when you look at the changes, the differences in the various species on this planet, it's really hard to imagine that they all have developed from one cell. And that one cell developed from some combination of oxygen and hydrogen. They came together as no accident. I mean, I think you can use the conversation as a return to understanding what the force is, if you will, or God, or all those things. Man, this is heavy. Let's get to Mr. Imhoff.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hey, meat eaters. The freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standard for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dry guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes 6 number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every meat eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our 1-year plus meat eater's units at freeze-dry-guy.com. And hey, the freeze-dry guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freeze-dry-guy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of Allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Alli-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized Allicin. Just one tablet of Alli-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alli-C. For more information and to order Alli-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Alli-C.
The perfect water for drinking, bathing, and cleaning. Right at your fingertips? Yes, you can now have the most powerful water ionizer on the market for less than half the price of competitors. The Genesis Platinum Water Ionizer from GibsonsHealth.com creates the perfect drinking water of 9.5 pH, automatically cleans every time you use it, and even tells you when to change filters. Other 7-plate water ionizers are priced at $2,000 or even $3,000. But the Genesis Platinum is only $16.95. Get yours today at GibsonsHealth.com. Under Nutritionals, be sure to click on Essential Oils for aromatic liquids extracted from a broad range of flowers, stems, seeds, and bark. And to really balance your body, click on Go Green, the most complete green drink available, necessary for survival. All this and more are found at GibsonsHealth.com. Call 800-388-6844. That's 800-388-6844 or GibsonsHealth.com. Healthful living since 1974.
All right, 33 after the hour. Good day, weekend. Phil Leppard, the supermarket guru, is here. You are invited and encouraged to check out his website, supermarketguru.com. He travels all around the country and around the world delivering information to people who are studying your buying habits when it comes to groceries and the food industry in general, what the good foods are. His picks and misses are, hits and misses rather, available every weekend and actually during the week as well at supermarketguru.com. Joining us now is Daniel Imhoff, who's the author of a book called Food Fight, The Citizen's Guide to the Next Food and Farm Bill. Mr. Imhoff, thank you for joining us. Let's give people who are listening a little background into not only the import, import of the food or the farm bill, but what's the history of this? Why do we have a farm bill to begin with?
The farm bill started way back in the Depression and the Dust Bowl era. So it was a time when one out of every three Americans was out of work. Many of them were very hungry. And the soil was literally blowing away. And if you remember the Grapes of Wrath and the history of America, that's when there was this great transformation in our farming system. And the tractors were coming on the land, and the sharecroppers and the tenant farmers and the family farmers were really beginning to move off. And the government decided that they had no choice with these huge problems in agriculture and hunger to play a big role in the food system. And that's really the origin of the Farm Bill, both creating ways to distribute surplus food, give food stamps and nutrition assistance to the needy, and then also develop programs to help farmers conserve the land, keep the soil from blowing away, get credit, make sure that they could have fair prices. And you know, when you look at it, it's the government's chance to try to make right the food system, and especially make right things that the market doesn't make right.
So that was then, and now is now. This was an FDR sort of New Deal era proposal and enactment that did help in areas that we needed help. So what's happened to the Farm Bill over the years?
It's changed amazingly. I mean, just as our society's changed. Back in the Depression, there were about six and a half million family farmers, and the farms were small and they were diversified. They had crops and row crops and cash crops and orchards and honeybees and animals, livestock, it was a very, very different farming system than we have today. Over the last 70 years, 80 years, what we've seen is, especially big commercial agriculture has become very capitalized. It's become very dependent upon bigger and more advanced technological machinery and huge applications of chemicals that allow farmers to get these big yields. But also we've seen, we're down to about 300,000 farmers now that really put out the bulk of the food that's produced in America, at least by dollar amount. And the Farm Bill has a huge impact in what kind of agriculture system we have on the land, just by the sheer amounts of money and research and assistance that it puts out there into the market.
Well, I'm a dairy farmer. I don't know if you knew that or not when you went into this. I am not only a broadcaster, but I'm a legitimate dairy farmer. I'm a hands-on dairy farmer. I have a farm in eastern Massachusetts in a town called Framingham that I'm trying to save mightily in a land area that has the acreage worth $250,000 an acre. It's an uphill battle. I'm not saying that because I'm just sticking out my chest and saying, aren't I a great guy? I grew up around cows, been around the dairy all my life, wanted to save it in this area because people have come around by the thousands in the last couple of years, basically resisting or rebelling against the current system, which basically produces garbage. And the government, in my estimation, is the promoter of this garbage by getting into bed with these big agribusinesses. As you've suggested, 300,000-400,000 people are responsible for doing what 98% of the population used to do. Now it's down to like less than 2% of the population grows the food for our country and many areas in the world. And these farm bills have been responsible for manipulating the system to the benefit of the big companies and keeping the small family farmers either down or out. There's no better place than looking at dairy to understand that. And I wondered if you've analyzed the current farm bill and what you think is the what do you read into the priorities as set forth, at least at the beginning?
Well, the current farm bill expires on September 30th of this year. And then it either has to be extended or it reverts back to the 40s, but they never let that happen. And so this is why it's really important for people to begin to get up to speed, learn about it, and find out exactly what it's at stake. I mean, you know, when it comes right down to it, this is an issue of money in politics. And what the ag committees are trying to do right now is to perpetuate this system of big guys,
right,
and just making sure the big guys stay in control, as you've just described. And I think our job as people who care about a healthy food system and a different food system, we really need to begin to look at the Farm Bill as one of these huge intervention points in the food system. And just because so much money and so much of the rules really are written in this annual bill.
And if there's any example,
what Big Ag will do is try to hide behind little guys like you and say they're really supporting the family farm, and in fact, they're really behind this huge concentration of production, which doesn't help anyone.
No, it spoils the system. Phil, do we have you back again? I'm not sure whether we have Phil connected or not. We lost him there for a minute. Do we have you back? Apparently we don't have him back. Okay. So the essence of the bill and how it affects the average person, you are paying taxes every year. You need to procure food. You want to stay healthy. And many of the things that are in these bills are dictated by, as you've suggested, Mr. Imhoff, the big conglomerates, Cargill, ADM, that ilk, Monsanto on the other side, and Dow Chemical. These people all have their lobbyists, and they all want to get their piece of the pie. And so the whole thing's been distorted. But the locavore movement has taken such a I mean, I see it in my dairy farm. and you see it around with the guys that are the smaller farmers who are growing produce, and people go and they're happy to support it. Now the education process begins so that people can understand and get to the legislature. We need small groups to go before Congress and these committees and tell them, give them what for, and tell them that we're not going to accept anymore the way that they have rationed out the money to help people who are already kajillionaires.
Yeah, public opinion is racing so far ahead of policy in this area, and you have cities that are really concerned, and they're also revitalized by this local bar movement. So they need jobs, they have nutrition problems, they're feeding kids in school, but at the same time they're seeing their farmers' markets are exploding. They have farms in the city, they have farmers just outside the city who have these really vital new markets and ways to get food to consumers. And I think, you know, the city of Seattle has really led the way, where they bought a whole bunch of my books a couple of years ago. They got together in a group, and then their city council passed its own principles that say, we want this kind of healthy farm bill. Mm-hmm. And that those principles were then adopted by the National League of Cities. And I consider that a real model to find a way outside the system and have cities begin to talk to their representatives and say, look, you got to tell these ag committee members that this same old farm bill isn't going to support the kinds of things that we need in cities. The farm bill, the food bill, it's not just a legislation for a bunch of people in Iowa, and Louisiana that grow corn and cotton and rice and wheat and soybeans. This is an issue that affects everybody in every city, and it's our food system. It's the 21st century now. We really have to get things right.
Well, the essence of getting things right, if you understand, and I don't like to sound like the angry old guy here, but it is so obvious what's going on, and it's pervasive. The fact that this week the CDC was told by a judge that they better enforce the antibiotic laws, the rules they put into effect in the 1970s, for God's sakes, they hadn't done it because once the rules were promulgated, the people that want to see antibiotics used, especially in the beef industry, to grow the animals faster, got in the way and kept the CDC from enforcing it. If you don't
antibiotics, they're again, that's one more of those crucial intervention points into the system. If you take away the antibiotics, they can't have 100,000 cows in a feedlot. They can't have 2,500 sows that are trapped in these cages that are make them just piglet machines, right? They have to suddenly get to this issue of scale, of animal welfare, of dealing with waste, and so many of the issues that are just, you know, incumbent upon this industrial system that we've got and that you seem to be against.
I am. I'm completely. As a matter of fact, I was just taking notes as you were talking. I'm a member of the Agricultural Commission in the town where I live, and we have what remaining farmers in the town. We're all on this commission, and I'm just thinking to myself, we need to have a meeting. We need to come forth with a statement. We need to go to the selectmen. We need to urge them to take a stand, and this will be in the media, certainly, and people come around that, and folks, therefore, know they call their congressmen. And they say, look, this is not what we want. This is what we want. And that's the way you do it. You stir the pot from the grassroots, and it builds back up again. But you're facing unbelievable odds because there's so much money on the other side. And I use this. I sell raw milk on my farm. And the fact that people don't understand there are two kinds of raw milk produced, one that goes to the plant to be pasteurized, and other raw milk that's produced by people who are of conscience and know how to do a good, clean product and aren't the ones that are responsible for the problems that the news media wants you to know about. This kind of stuff is so obvious in the way it's connected. I use in the dairy industry at Dean Foods and Suiza, they control about 70% of the fluid milk supply in the whole country. And you don't think those guys, with their connections first in Texas to the Bush family and then nationally to whoever they could influence, and they've influenced this thing to a fairly well, to the point that the white stuff that's liquid that you buy in the grocery store, for the most part, is liquid water. It's junk. It's garbage. And you can go across the spectrum, whether it's vegetables or whether it's meat, whatever produce it is. And the government has made these companies bigger by giving them more money in a sense that they don't need because they're making massive profits anyway. There's nothing wrong with profits, but go ahead.
And also refusing to enforce the antitrust laws. And this is a place also where the Farm Bill can intervene in the system. They held hearings, the Department of Agriculture and the Department of Justice across a number of different sectors, poultry, livestock production, seed, seed ownership, around the United States, and they made some recommendations in this last Farm Bill to begin to make these markets, make these monopolies change the way they control pricing, the way they control contracts with farmers, but they have not been enforced just because, as you say, these powerful alliances, the big dairy, beef producers, pork producers, have so much influence in the rule writing that the changes have not been enforced. So this idea of going to your local level, right, whatever that would be, and begin to influence the process from the bottom up, I think, is so important.
Yeah, it really is, and it is the bottom up. But a lot of the stuff starts at the top now, and that's why, again, using dairy as a reference, the reason so many dairy farmers are going out of business is because the food, the dairy bill has distorted in the various regions of the country. There are rules that have been made, and they apply. This is what you will get paid by the company that's buying your milk. Instead of the market just being out there on the market, it's us being told what we're going to get paid, and we don't get paid enough to sustain ourselves. We'll continue our conversation. Exactly. It's the exact opposite. Daniel Imhoff, who's the author of Food Fight, is here with us on Good Day Weekend.
Gardeners trust Miracle-Gro Shake and Feed to feed plants right. Plants need food, especially veggies. Lately, another company's been saying their plant food feeds twice as long as Shake and Feed. What they aren't saying? Their plant food actually feeds less. So we're saying it. Shake and Feed provides 72% more nutrition per application and is more in line with university recommendations for feeding many popular veggies. Hey, if we can save even one veggie, it'll be worth it. Miracle-Gro Shake and Feed. Everyone grows with Miracle-Gro.
The war had been gone for 2 years, and I got the calling. I got the calling to join the service and support the boys over there.
Thousands of American troops have come home from the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, suffering the effects of post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injuries.
I never thought that I would have PTSD. I thought that I had enough coping skills.
I don't think anybody who goes into combat could ever honestly say that they're not different when they come home.
What you take as a simple thing is not so simple for me anymore.
I'm going to have my good days and my bad days, and I really don't like those bad days.
I would say to those people that are out there, don't brush us aside and don't count us out.
Help the USO support these troops and their families. Hear more of their stories at usoinvisiblewounds.org.
Do you have widespread unexplained pain? Have you talked with your doctor about fibromyalgia? Fibromyalgia affects up to 12 million Americans, and symptoms include chronic widespread pain, tenderness, fatigue, and difficulty sleeping. According to a new national survey, fibromyalgia symptoms can impact many aspects of a person's daily routine. Yet many people who experience symptoms delay seeking help for 1 to 3 years. Dr. Beth Hodges, a fibromyalgia expert, has more.
70% of fibromyalgia patients are undiagnosed. People who think they may have fibromyalgia should describe their symptoms to their health care provider, who can help make an accurate diagnosis. An early diagnosis is key to begin to manage fibromyalgia. The sooner people are diagnosed, the sooner they can begin an effective management plan. People with fibromyalgia should talk to their doctor and find out if an FDA-approved medication or certain lifestyle changes might be appropriate for managing their condition.
For more information, visit www.fibrotogether.com. This report is brought to you by Forest Laboratories, Inc.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
All right, 53 after the hour now, the Good Day Weekend program. Phil Lempert is back in the fold. We're talking to Daniel Imhoff, who is the author of Food Fight, the government's involvement in the food that you eat and how they allow it to be messed up. Now here, Daniel, before I throw it back to Phil, I want you to hear something that while we're having the conversation, I belong to the National Farmers Union, and the president sends out email every day or two or three talking about what's going on in government. And so the context of today's email has to do with part of the farm bill. And the guy's name is Roger Johnson, very good guy, dairy farmer from North Dakota, who has now become the director of the National Farmers Union. And they're there to lobby for farmers. And he says renewable energy is the future of the rural economy. And so the NFU, is calling on Congress to continue investing in rural America through farm bill energy programs like Rural Energy for America program, Biomass Crop Assistance Program, Biorefinery Assistance Program. I mean, these things go on and on. They have nothing to do with food. Phil was just pointing out a minute ago that the Department of Agriculture sends out email 10 times a day, and maybe 1 out of 10 actually has anything to do with food. The rest of it is all this stuff that, you know, becomes part of the government's way of managing everybody's life. It's
However,
sick.
Before we get on to that, what I want to ask Daniel is, and both of you, what can we do to get people to want to be farmers? Because we can talk all we want about big farms, doing all this stuff, but when I talk to people and say, you know, what about thinking about being a farmer? Nobody wants to be a farmer.
I'm not sure.
I don't think many people want to be a farmer, like a big commodity farmer.
No, but even small farmers today. You know, I talk to so many farmers who have to sell their property just to have some kind of funding for their kids or their grandchildren, that they've had these family farms for, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 generations, and finally they just give up and they sell this great land for condos.
It's amazing. You look at the American farmer and what it is in the American psyche, right? It's far different than the reality that it is today. And today you have, you know, the aging farmers over 55 that run the farms. They outnumber people under 35, 7 or 8 to 1. So we have this huge farmer deficit, as you've said. Part of it is because it costs so much to get into farming that a young person, if they're not inheriting a farm or some huge amount of money, they just have no way to enter into that kind of farming. And another is that they just don't want it. They don't want to deal with the regulations. They don't want to deal with the public outcry. They don't want to become beholden to Monsanto. You do have a lot of young people who want to go into farming. They just don't want to go into the kind of farming that, you know, the big farmers are doing today. They can't do it and they don't want it. They want something different. They want to raise, you know, pastured poultry. They have raw milk. They want to have value added products and have direct interactions with people. A lot of these huge commodity farmers, they're really coming out of a manufacturing mentality that came up in the last century, where they're just trying to produce as much as possible and sell it to, you know, the biggest person who will buy it.
And
they're really not producing food. They're producing feed for cattle and materials to make, you know, biofuel. Really, 40% of the corn goes to make ethanol right now.
All right, let me do my additional comment on that, Phil. Has to do with there's two kinds of farmers coming along today. There are folks in family farms, places like Iowa and Nebraska, some places in Pennsylvania, where land can be distributed to the family and the sons and daughters keep it going. That is happening to a certain extent. But there's another crew of people who have come mostly from the city. They don't have a lot of practical knowledge. They've educated themselves, and they know what they want. They know what's healthy. They're not always they're well-intentioned, but they're not well-informed or schooled. Those people are part of the future as well. So it's a two-step process. One of the things Mr. Imhoff has done here in the book, Food Fight, is to call our attention to this sort of thing, and it's up to us now individually to kind of rally around. We need the family farmer. We need farmers to be to keep the land, and unfortunately, in parts of the country like where I am, the pressure is on me to sell my land to get it developed, and you know that's what I'm fighting. It's a very difficult situation. Everybody should know more about it, and therefore you can take action. Thank you, Mr. Imhoff. Again, the book is called Food Fight. Phil, thank you. Phil Lempert, the supermarket guru, supermarketguru.com.